We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's OMF on EEI.
Patriots Friday right here on OMF. It's time for our weekly conversation with our buddy Mike Lombardi, sponsored by Town Fair Tire and by Zudy. Build any apps your company needs in a week. Visit Zudy.com for details. And joining us on the Harbor One hotline is indeed Mike Lombardi. Hello, Mike.
Hello, guys. How are we doing?
Hello, Mike. We're reeling. We're reeling a little bit.
How's Lou holding up with his analysis? I'd like Lou to be able to ask Belichick the same questions he asked me. I hope he does. I mean, you know, it was.
Yeah, Mike, I was real impressed with that win over Miami. I mean, it was a nice win, but they're not a good football team. We know that.
You think that? You go ahead, use your expertise. Don't put me in your boat. I don't see that. I thought that was a good win for them.
Yeah. What'd you find out?
Beat them in a, when it,
here's my question.
When they played last year. Like all the same concerns when you bring him on that you ask me, and I think it's fair. Now I know when I hang up, I get ripped. I understand that. It's like when you call our buddy Mike Lombardi comes on, and then I get ripped when I hang up the phone. So I don't know if I'm really your buddy. I know that for sure.
Oh,
so,
Mike,
Lou,
Mike, you're very
Mike sensitive.
You're so sensitive today. Like,
too
listen,
sensitive.
We
thanks for listening to the show, though.
We talked to you like this because you're playful. There's some give and take.
Mike, I'll say this, okay?
Last week, you cannot evaluate a team.
Mike, no
after
kidding,
one
Christ,
week.
I played baseball, for God's sakes. You write books about it, but I have opinions. Listen, you last week, we had a debate back and forth about how these linebackers and everybody they lost defensively was replaceable, in your opinion. I don't remember you saying that last year when they were on the Patriots. That was my issue with what you said last week, because you sure as hell don't say it when they're on the team. You say it when they leave.
Well, because they are replaceable.
Well, you didn't say it last year. If I told you Kyle Van Noy was replaceable and Dante Hightower is replaceable, you'd have laughed at me and said I don't know anything about football when they were on the Patriots.
No, it's
funny.
I said, well, who are you going to replace him with? But it's like when I said Gronk was bad 2 years ago. You know, everybody disagreed with me, and then 10 weeks later, everybody said, well, Gronk was fat. You know, I tell you what I think. I'm not trying to harbor what I don't, but I think every player, there's so many guys that play. You try to replace a guy in season is way different than replacing him in the offseason. That's an entirely different question. So for me, you know, look, Van Noy left. He decided to go somewhere else. He's replaceable. You know, I wish Hightower would have stayed. I wish it would have made him a better. But eventually, they got to replace. Everybody's replaceable.
How many fights did you get in with agents? I have a feeling that you got in a lot of fights with agents who you thought, who you probably assumed knew a lot less than you did. And then I have a feeling that there was a lot of contentious, you know, negotiations with you. Am I right? Or am I close, Mike, at all?
No, I was a deal maker. But I think to me, I have no problem saying the truth. I say what I think. You know, and I'm not passive aggressive with it. I say what I think. It's probably been a downfall in my career. I probably should have been more political with my commentary. However, that being said, I'm not going to not say whether there's some agents, you know, I mean, the one good thing about agents, sometimes it gets easier to tell them no. You know, it's like it's easier to tell you no because you're really not making an argument that makes any sense. It's the ones that make sense with the argument. You know, it's like, look, do I think that David Andrews coming back made a big difference? Yeah, I thought I saw the game on Sunday.
Yeah, I do have an issue though with like, what do you mean by saying like, hey Lou, ask Bill what he thinks about it. What is that supposed to mean? Like, why is that such a
jab? Just do the show.
If Lou is so worried about the right tackle position, if he's so worried about the linebackers, then he should say to Coach Belichick, hey Bill, you know, I think the right tackle is going to be a massive hole for the Patriots this year.
When I ask him about how you lost every single linebacker and how do you replace that institutional knowledge and leadership, and he sits there and says, we'll do what's best for the team. I mean, that's, you know, Bill. I mean, so, you know, we can ask him whatever the hell they want. So I asked him about the linebackers and the people they lost. Well, I'll tell him on Monday when they get smoked by Seattle that I think they're going to win 6 games this year. And we'll just, you know.
I would like you to do that. And he won't have a reaction to it, but I mean,
of course.
He should. If that's how you think, I don't think they're a 6-win team. I don't see how you could watch that team if they're going to win 6.
So what did you learn? What did you learn from last week that you know, maybe you didn't know or, anticipate before the game? Did something surprise you?
Well, I think it's Cam's healthy. There's no doubt. He looked healthy. Ran the ball. They did what I thought they would on third down. They got him. They got the ball in his hands. They were effective in the red zone, something that wasn't the case last year. They tried to play man against them in the red zone, double Edelman. They tried to double James White, and Cam runs for a touchdown. You know, so I thought they played much better situational football than I thought they would be in so early in the season. I thought their pad level was better. I was shocked that Sonny Michel ran as effectively as he did. Not that I think he's a great back, but I thought he was good in that game. And I was surprised by their ability to play defense. I mean, last year, look, they got a 24-20 lead with just about 4 minutes to go in the game, and the ball's backed up, and they could stop them with Van Noy on the field and with Hightower on the field last year. Fitzpatrick looked good, and I think they did a good job defending Fitzpatrick.
Okay, so they win the first game. How much of this is sustainable? They're going to Seattle. This is a high-powered offensive team, more run now than more pass than run where they've been in the past. Suppose they fall behind in this game. Where did they go?
Well, I think they rely on the arm of Cam Newton. They rely on the ability of Julian Edelman. I think when you look at this game and you see the history between the Patriots and Pete Carroll's style of defense, and I wrote a column about how Bill and Pete, even though they are vastly different in their approach, they're similar in their core components. You know, and the Patriots understand how to attack this defense. Go back through it. You know, go back through when Hernandez and Gronk were playing tight end, and they lost in Seattle in a close game. I think Brady missed through an interception in the red zone down there at that game. And then look at the Super Bowl, and then look at other times they played. They've been close games. They moved the ball effectively because I do think Josh McDaniels has a great understanding of how to attack Pete's scheme. Pete doesn't play just cover three. He plays a style of cover three that you have to truly understand how to attack it. Now, against Atlanta, he tried to run more zone blitzes than he probably has ever had during his time up in Seattle to utilize Jamal Adams' ability to attack the pocket, which he does really well. So the Patriots are going to have to block Jamal Adams. They'll have to get their hands on him and really do a good job of keeping him out of the pocket and keeping him from hurting their run game.
So, Mike, when you see Cam Newton last week, had 15 carries, I think 14, one was a kneel down. But with the RPOs, and they're talking about how many runs and week to week can be different. But is that something you're comfortable with? I mean, with RPO, he might make that decision. He might have another 12, 15 carry week. Is that something he could sustainable?
I don't know if it's sustainable for 12 carries times 17, 16 games. I think that's a little much. But I think anytime they're going to play a team that plays as much man as Josh Poyer played last week, that did as many things as they did in the box, I think you're going to see them have to run a little bit to loosen it up. Now, Seattle's more of a zone team. So Seattle's going to have all their eyes on Cam. They're going to be able to focus. That's what they do. As soon as the shoulders turn by the quarterback, Seattle's players are breaking on the ball. That's what they're taught to do. So I think each week is going to be different. You know, when they play the Raiders, he may not run that much, you know, because the Raiders defensively, they'll struggle to handle just the passing game alone. So I think it's week to week.
So, okay, so now looking at Seattle, so you saw what the Patriots were capable of doing that first game. But then you see Seattle throw the ball all over the place. So what was he, 31 of 35? I mean, really efficient. And then that, and I feel like that's not what Pete Carroll wants to do. I feel like they want to ground and pound and really control the clock and play field position football. Do you think that they're going to continue to let him just throw the football down the field?
Well, they did the first half. You know, he was 10 for 11 in the first half. Last year, Seattle was the 28th ranked team in the National Football League in rushing attempts in the first half. They typically like to establish the run. Last week, they established the lead. That was a little different. Do I think Pete will get back to trying to run the football more effectively? Carlos Hyde was the leading ball carrier last week. It wasn't even Chris Carson. So, you know, do I think so? Yeah, but I think they have to let Russell Wilson. He is, as what Bill talked about this week, he is one of the best players in the league by far. He makes plays. The offensive line has not been great, but he's been able to buy second looks. He makes plays down the field. He's pinpoint accurate. And what you do with Atlanta did at the start of the second half when that fourth and five play, if you show him what you're doing too early in the down, and he can get check into an audible, he knows you're in man coverage, and you're going to get beat. You're going to make a mistake, and you're not going to be able to cover those receivers. I think they're going to have to play a little bit of a chess match with them. But the key to the game, it all starts with this. They've got to do a good job of controlling him with their pass rush.
Would you say that Russell Wilson is probably the smartest or one of the smartest quarterbacks in the league right now, top three as far as play recognition, anticipating that whole thing, like the whole Tom Brady mantra?
I think he's in the top three in almost every single category. You know,
So why no MVP love? You know, he gets the All-Pro stuff. You know, the Pro Bowl stuff. But why no MVP talk with him? No numbers?
I got to think it's a little bit of how they have always kind of played up there. You know, as they focus with the run game. But for me, I mean, I think he's the MVP. I thought he could have been an MVP last year. Now, Lamar Jackson had a sensational year, and they fell 6 inches short of having the home field advantage. In the playoffs, they had to be a wild card team. So, you know, look, if he would have gotten that ball back in the playoff game, if he would have gotten that ball back against Green Bay in that playoff game, Seattle would have won. When Seattle decided to punt and win with their defense and gave up two key third down calls in that game, that cost them. And I think Pete's got to look at that and say, you know what, maybe I'm just better off putting the ball in Russell's hands.
You know, the other thing that happens, Mike, with the MVP voting is that everybody goes in one direction. Like last year, everybody, you only get one vote. You can't vote for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so you vote for Lamar Jackson. And so he could have easily been the number two choice for a lot of people, and you don't get him. I think that might
That's
be
right.
the biggest part of it. We're talking with Mike Lombardi. We're talking to Mike Lombardi, and I notice we're warming up again. We might be close to friendship. We'll find out by the end of the phone call. So I want to ask you about Bruce Arians. We heard so much about Tom Brady the last couple of years that one of the things that pissed him off, and these are people that were close to Brady, was that he did not get enough respect. He did not get enough love. He wasn't treated with kid gloves enough by Bill Belichick. So Brady goes out, throws two interceptions in the first game. Bruce Arians calls him out with the media in the post-game press conference, breaking down the two interceptions, claiming they were his fault, even though the next day he changed it to Mike Evans. And then later said, a couple days later, Tom needs a little bit more grit and determination next week in the game against Carolina. Are you shocked by this?
I'm completely shocked. I mean, you know, look, you know, first of all, you know, there was a lot more that just went wrong because of the interceptions. I mean, let's be real honest here. I don't even think New Orleans played their A game and won the game, and won the game going away. Did Tom play well? No. I thought Tom was really uncomfortable. I thought Tom didn't really have a feel for what they wanted to do offensively. I thought they behaved. They had all these guys they want to get the ball to, and they end up getting the ball to nobody. And I think Bruce is better off having those discussions with his team and not in the media. But for some reason, Bruce has opinions on everything. So, you know, I'm not sure Bruce still knows whether he works at the Bucks or if he's back in television at CBS, because he has opinions on everything. And I think he's better off dealing with somebody like Brady in a mature fashion and go to him face to face and say, hey, look, maybe he wasn't as prepared for it. You know, maybe they were running a play that didn't fit the defense, because it sure didn't look like it to me sometimes. So I just think, to me, you got to treat the guy with the level of respect that he deserves, and you can call him out. You can hold him accountable, but you do it behind closed doors.
Yeah, and Mike, you know, we see it here in New England, right? Cam Newton's a quarterback, and he's different skill set, and they run a different offense. So I'm just curious, because it does seem like they went there and said, no, Tom, you're doing what we do. Doesn't there need to be more of a blend to instill some of the stuff Tom does really well rather than try to force that?
Been the biggest concern that I've had with him going there. Of all the places that he went or he was thinking about going, Tampa would have been the last one for me to recommend to him because, A, Bruce wants a quarterback who holds the ball. B, Bruce wants to throw the ball outside the numbers. C, Bruce wants to take shots, you know. And those are the three things that Brady doesn't really like doing. Brady's careful with the football. He wants to get out of his hands quickly. He wants to get him in the right play. He wants to have balance within the attack. I mean, they gave Leonard Fournette 5 carries for 5 yards. Do you have any idea what they were trying to do offensively after that game? Because I don't. So, you know, I think this is what they got. This is what Tom got into. And they've done nothing to cater to what Tom really needs in terms of having a control possession guy inside, attacking the middle of the field like he wants to do.
Yeah, I'm actually, the one thing I think I underestimated is how long it's going to take them to mesh and figure this out. Because just to compare it to Peyton Manning, when he left and went to Denver, I mean, I remember having the same conversations. Hey, you got to bring Peyton Manning's offense. I mean, Peyton Manning is the offense, but you have to bring that whole style of play. And I want to say, and I can't, to be honest with you, Mike, I can't remember, but I feel like it worked. I mean, because he was at a couple of those years, he was like MVP-esque until he got hurt.
Well, I mean, he installed the offense. He taught the coaches the offense. I mean, Bruce spent most of the offseason playing golf. Brady was down there throwing. Nobody, you know, they were playing golf. They weren't in the office. So, you know, I mean, Peyton installed the offense. Peyton taught the offense, but then he had Adam Gase there. He taught the offense to Adam Gase. They didn't run John Elway's offense when Peyton was there. They didn't run, you know, John Fox's or whomever was the head, or Gary Kuby. They ran what Peyton wanted to run, and that was the smartest thing, and it would be the smartest thing for Bruce to run what Tom does, because Tom's at a point in his life where we know he doesn't have much football left. I mean, we can talk about all the, you know, he's going to play till he's 50, but let's be real honest, that there's not a lot of football going to be left, and you should maximize those times he has left with doing what he does best.
I got 30 seconds for this answer. It's a betting question. New England is only a 4-point underdog. The gamblers are Vegas basically eliminating the home field advantages. That's what's going on here?
You know, I think so to a degree, yes. I think there's a lot of action. A lot of action will come in late on that. I could see that number going down to 3.5 before Sunday. But I think there's a lot of action coming in on New England that would be late. That number over 3 makes it really tempting for people to play.
All right, Mike. We'll talk to you next week. Keep listening, by the way.
Thanks, guys.
I'm going to give the points, Mike. I'm writing out my questions for Bill, so I'm ready to go.
All right, good. So, see Bill on all those. Thanks.
Mike Lombardi on the Harbor One Hotline. That was good.
I enjoyed that.
Felt like we were in the Celtics locker room after last night's game. That was good. Very good. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll be back. We'll give our predictions on the game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'd like Lou to be able to ask Belichick the same questions he asked me. I hope he does. You know, it was
Mike, I was real impressed with that win over Miami. I mean, it was a nice win, but they're not a good football team. We know that.
Go ahead. Use your expertise. Don't put me in your boat. I don't see that. I thought that was a good win for them. I just hope you're asking Coach Belichick all the same concerns when you bring him on that you ask me. Now, I know when I hang up, I get ripped. I understand that. It's like when you call our buddy Mike Lombardi comes on, and then I get ripped when I hang up the phone. Lou, you just cannot evaluate.
Mike, no kidding, Christ,
week.
I played baseball, for God's sakes. You write books about it. You last week, we had a debate back and forth about how these linebackers and everybody they lost defensively was replaceable, in your opinion. I don't remember you saying that last year when they were on the Patriots. That was my issue with what you said last week. Because you sure as hell don't say it when they're on the team. You say it when they leave.
I love it. Angry Lou versus Angry Mike. Christian.
No. It's not Angry Mike. It's salty Mike. It's salty Mike.
That's right. You get two paisans.
And what do you guys? I can just imagine Mike using his hands and speaking a lot with his hands.
See, there you go.
He's got a headset on. And he's like,
what do you mean? The pasta, the meatball. Stereotyping Italians right now.
It's good that Mike is listening to the show after his segment because, listen, it's a talk show. This is what we do. Everybody comes up with opinions. And if he says something and it doesn't turn out the way he says it, then we are bringing
it
up.
We
have great respect for Mike Lombardi, or he wouldn't be on the show with us.
He's a genius. But the cheap shot was, and Mike, listen, you need this. This one was uncalled for. And this is what it sounded like to me. Oh, ask Bill that question. I mean, come on. If it was Fourier, Merlone, and Lombardi, it would be exactly the same every Monday. Mike would be part of our awkward silence deal, right? Or it would be some love fest like it is with Glenn. He'd probably go Glenn's route.
You just cannot evaluate a team after one.
No kidding, Christ! I played baseball, for God's sakes. You write books about
it. I got to give it to you. That is
you
a good
can't
one.
Evaluate.
That, it was no funny because
I'm just a poor baseball player.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you know what? When it comes to football, I want you to zip it. Zip it.
Oh, good.
No opinions. Mm-hmm. No nada.
I'm sorry. Wow. What?
No, see, exactly.
All right.
So, because this guy just sends out this tweet, and he's like, he's at mentioning both of us. He's like, yeah, Fourier and Merlone, how were you guys? We were ripping, Nikhil Harry for slowing down on that one play and that screen pass, and he got just killed by the defensive back. And the guy's like, well,
Edelman missed his block.
Yeah, and what's your point?
It's irrelevant.
Like, he still recognized that the guy was about to tackle him, and he stopped
running.
The guy
fought off a block. He weighs 50 pounds less than Nikhil Harry, and he stopped him in his tracks.
Why are you guys not mentioning how it got there? You got to look at the whole film. I looked at the all-22s. Yeah. And Edelman didn't get leverage on the outside of his block.
I'd like Lou to be able to ask Belichick the same questions he asked me.
I tell you what,
prediction time. Prediction time. We'll start with you, Lou, because you're so damn negative about this game.
Yeah, I know. And Lombardi's got me pissed off, too. They lose 47-10. How's that sound, Mike? All right? Deal with that. And I'll tell Bill on Monday. I thought you were going to lose 47-10. All right? No, I would say they lose 34-23. They lose 34-23. Seattle wins.
Okay. I don't know if the Patriots are going to score that many points. I'm going to give them 17 points.
Well, there's a trash touchdown there at the end.
There's a trash touchdown.
34-16.
Oh, so it's like, it's like garbage. It's like Atlanta. Like, yeah. What do they throw for, like, almost over 400 yards?
Maybe
something crazy.
Hoyer in the fourth quarter.
Hoyer comes into the game in the fourth quarter.
So Stidham's a scratch again.
34-23.
Yeah. And what did you say, Christian?
I hate the whole "hey, give me a score" thing because how the hell do we know?
Why don't you save it for Sunday?
How the hell do we know? Like, we don't really know.
Give us a score.
They're going to score five.
We're not going to make you stick to it.
It really is the stupidest practice in the history. It's like this is stump. But
oh,
whatever.
Just shut up and
I'll
give a
play
number.
Play along with just your stupid game. All right.
Just amuse me.
I'll go 28, 16 and a half.
16 and a half. 28 to 16
Pretty sure
and a half.
That's
that would
28,
be a first,
17.
By the way. Yeah. I don't think that's ever been done before. I'm going to go Seattle.
3-2?
Seattle 30, New England 20. I think they hang in there for a while, but I think they make some mistakes. Picks are concerned with me, with Jamal Adams. I think they hang in there for a while,
you ever
and then
notice,
Seattle kind of takes over.
You guys notice, and you heard it, you see it around like now. It's like the Patriots, nobody really feels good about them going to Seattle, but like just like some people that just can't, have never picked them to lose.
Like
can't
Roche.
Do it. Yeah. So they're like, you know what? I think it's going to like 2017. 17-14, 23-20, close game because they just can't get themselves to pick against this team. I just think if they're going to win. Give me a victory. Just come on. 23-20. You always pick them every week or just say they're going to lose. Tell me what the real score is.
I do love the fact that we have no history to rely on with this particular team. You have no idea because you can't draw from past years or past games against the Seahawks.
Lombardi just did that to you.
As far as Bill versus Pete.
Well, he's talking about cover three and how they do it differently.
Well, no, that's different. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. Just I don't know what makes this team tick. I don't know enough about their leader. I know that if you were telling me if Tom was here, I would give you all these reasons why they wouldn't win. And then I would say, but they have Tom, so I'm going to pick the Patriots. That is what I would always say.
But we're
okay,
already
so Cam Newton
into...
has not played well against Seattle, okay? And they've played an awful lot. So he's, what's he, two and... Is it two and
but
six?
It, but it,
two and four?
We're continuing, I feel like, to still talk about this team like one's in the past. And see, that's where I think we make the mistake, or people make the mistake. You know, like the Patriots have had success against this defense. Seattle's a team that just does one thing. They don't change, right? This is
correct.
What they do well.
If you're a right side corner, you stay
it.
On the right
and,
side.
And the
right.
Patriots have attacked the zones in different areas with Edelman and Gronk and Brady's been. So it's like we just think that this group can do the things that the old Patriots have been successful against Seattle in the past.
Well, can I bring
without
up
admitting that it's a different group?
Yeah, I want to bring up an example.
Gronk's not running the seam. Brady's not hitting his, you know, whatever, hitting Edelman. Right where he needs to be, we don't know.
Yeah, but if it's strictly, if you're going to go strictly on just quarterbacks, I mean, I'll take Russell Wilson with the ability to win in crunch time, fourth quarter type situation over Cam Newton.
No question. I think it's a no-brainer. I mean, he's 1-5, by the way, against Seattle. But Lombardi is sitting there talking about a cover three and an offset of cover three. And you and I were talking about this, I believe, off the air yesterday, Christian. And we were talking. And what I remember well, and it was interesting because Lombardi brought it up, is those seam routes where Rob Gronkowski had a field day against that secondary, against that defense.
Izzo, there's same
one,
thing.
There's one problem. Rob Gronkowski is no longer here. By the way, he's not even down in Tampa Bay because that's a totally different dude down there. So you're telling me that Ryan Izzo is going to be able to run that play?
Yeah, but we're also acting like it's the Legion of Boom. It isn't.
Yes,
the
it's
Legion
not the same defense. No,
so,
they're good, but they're nowhere near.
It's not
though
the
I
same.
Think Adams I think Adams is a big factor now.
Yep.
He helps them out an awful lot.
No, I mean,
he's
no question. I think he's great. I think he's also making some of those other guys better, too. So the physicality that Adams brings, and you know, and Mike talked about how they were blitzing a lot. Yeah, they did. He was really active. He was really effective. Jamal Adams was as far as his contributions. And I remember even Greg Williams, his old coach with the Jets, was talking about how, he's going to go over there and he wants out and he's going to be pissed because he's not going to be involved and he's just going to play cover three. And he was basically calling Jamal Adams out. Sure enough, Jamal Adams has a field day, tons of tackles, tackle for losses. I mean, this has a huge impact on the game. And he didn't
like a
reference
sack and like three
name.
Tackles for losses.
Yeah, he didn't reference
using him.
Yeah, he didn't reference Greg Williams by name, but he was sending a message.
I will say this, if the Patriots go out there and sneak out a win in this game, and Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers end up losing at home
insufferable.
To Carolina.
It'll be insufferable here.
Can you imagine what it's going to be like next week? All right, OMF, we'll continue on talking more Patriots. We'll get back into the Celtics as well, as they have a big game tomorrow night. It's Ordway, it's a Fourier, and it's
you
some
forgot
guy
who's
who
on
apparently
your show?
Played baseball. Some guy who apparently played baseball.
Mike Lombardi.
Yep.
If you don't have just certain tools in your toolbox, you shouldn't try to build a house.
Write that down.
They
kids.
Don't. it didn't come out quite like I was like I wanted to. Let's just say that.
You were close.
I wish there was like a button you could press and like you can like get the
rewind.
Words. Yes.
Rewind. Just go back and redo it again.
Yeah.
Oh
well.
Boy, that would have saved a lot.
Invent
of money.
You learned about Bank of America real quick.
Yeah, there you go. Injury report is out.
Oh, boy. What do we got?
Josh Uche is out again this week. Ankle injury. Here are your questionables. Adam Butler, Brandon Copeland. Jules has got a knee issue. He's questionable. N'Keal Harry, questionable shoulder. Matthew Slater, knee, questionable. Dalton Keene with a neck issue, questionable.
Okay.
That's good. Dalton Keene with the neck thing. Isn't he kind of looked at as like a... Could be like a fullback too at times.
I would call him an H-back is what I would call him. He's not a fullback. He's not necessarily a tight end. So you have to invent a new letter for him, and it becomes
an
H-back. Right. Yeah, you're like a hybrid. You're because a tight end is a hybrid receiver lineman. An H-back is a hybrid tight end fullback. See, that works in the football family.
Yeah.
So let's throw one out. Hybrid. Let's throw one out for the conspiracy people out there who always are fearful that somebody is doing something to screw their New England Patriots. The head referee for the Patriots Seahawks game is a gentleman by the name of Craig Rolstad.
Never heard of him.
Craig Rolstad. Now, here's the interesting thing about him, Lou.
What's that?
He is a native of Seattle, Washington. The NFL never does this. They do a great job of avoiding the appearance of referee bias, so they move wherever you are. You don't referee in that city. That's why you've never heard of Craig Rolstad.
No, I think it'll work. I think it'll work in your favor.
He's never done this in Seattle. I was just going to say the exact same thing. I almost think he's going to go overboard to try to prove that he's not.
I think a lot
biased.
Of these guys, yeah,
and you might get a couple of breaks out of it, but you know, people are going to look at this and say
they
want
to prove to the league that you know they're not biased towards the Seahawks. You might get a couple breaks.
But the league has admitted because of the travel restrictions due to COVID-19, we're doing some stuff we don't normally do.
You know, yeah, like we talk ref, like this.
The head ref last week was from, was from Foxborough.
Ah.
Was he?
Yeah, the Patriots of course he was.
No, I don't think
he's one of those guys.
I don't think he was.
A wise guy.
So if you were to devise, Christian, a way in which the Patriots could win this football game, because all three of us like Seattle in this game, how do they win this football game? Because I think Lombardi sounded pretty optimistic about the Patriots' chances.
Well, I will tell you this. I'm not deviating from what I think I do best. I know my foundation is my offensive line, if you're talking about just offense. That is my strength. And I think you see a variation of what you saw last week, but just more just running plays that don't really change the blocking scheme. So you're going to give them a little bit more eye candy, but the basics are going to still be there. You're going to give your power. You're going to give your sweep. You're going to get all that stuff. You're going to have your gimmick plays where they throw it to the outside. I just don't see them deviating, or I also don't see them committing to running Cam Newton 15 times. So,
well, I agree. I think last week, what was it, 42 carries this team had? 42 carries for 217 yards. But Sony had 10, Burkett had 7, Taylor had 4. Would it surprise you if Sony has like 18 carries in this game? And it looks more like that to get to like, say, 30, 35 carries?
JJ
Taylor gets 7 to 10, and it just, rather than Cam getting 15, they just hand the ball off and run behind that offensive line.
Yeah, they're still going to, that's their bread and butter. I think that you're starting to figure out, like, the RPO was their bread and butter. Now, what can we call off of that? What type of play action stuff can we call off of that? All they're doing now is just adding to their foundation. And then once they add to that foundation, by week 8, week 9, all these other teams will be looking back and they'll be able to set other people up. I just feel like the most important thing for them, based on the fact that I don't think they're as good, is to just, just the basic stuff. Don't turn it over. No false starts. That's going to give them, that's always going to keep them in the game. And I actually think Newton could win it, can win it. But, I can't wait for them to be in that position. I would like to see, just as far as what I want to see, a two-minute drill. End of half. It doesn't need to be the end of the fourth quarter. I want to see him try to do what Tom used to do, which is double dip. Get points at the end of the second quarter, get the ball back, and get more points at the start of the third quarter. That's what I would like to see. I want to see if they can get that done.
I want to see the P in the RPO.
The pass.
Yeah. Right? I'm going to give it to Sony, or I'm going to take it myself. Or I'm going to give it to Taylor and take it myself, or give it to those guys and then actually step back and maybe make a pass. I just want to see him throw the football because I want to find out what Demir Bird's doing here, and I want to get a better look at N'Keal Harry.
Well, that would be it. That would see. Well, okay,
You might see Gunner after the great month.
Well,
and
he's
a half,
not on the list, is he? He's not on the questionable list. He's not on the doubtful list. No. So
he's
looks
on the
like
IR, isn't he?
No.
No, I don't think so. He was just out of
Gunner is not
week,
on IR,
he?
Is he not? I mean, he's not on the... No. So if he's not on any of these lists, he's playing.
He's playing. We're going to get to see him in this game. So I think the way you see the pass, because I think Christian's right. I think they come back and the run is the number one thing. That's their priority. And it might be more of Burkett. It might be more of Michelle. It might be other people. Who knows? Last week they used Edelman. They used somebody else in a jet sweep or whatever, But they're using other people. I think they go to the pass, Lou, when they start falling behind in this game. And if you fall behind by a couple scores, what the hell are you doing there?
I want them to fall behind.
By the way, Gunner's on the IR.
Is he really?
Yeah. Yeah, he and Damian Harris both. So, I mean, you get him back in 3 weeks, but, you know, he's going to miss at least three games, right?
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah, so you're not...
He's got to miss three games then if he's on there.
I was going to say, am I losing my mind? No, yeah, he's on the IR.
Yeah, I thought he was just
out for the game.
Damian Harris, Bo Allen, and Gunner. Yeah.
Go ahead, use your expertise.
Look at me. I'm a baseball guy. Mike, I'm here. I'm trying to help him out, Mike.
Look at you.
Faison, trying to help him out.
A little sensitive. You know, Mike is a little sensitive today. But the good news is he's listening to our show. When he hangs up, he's still listening to the program. So that's good. You know, we like that. We enjoy that.
Look, I've been farting in the same cushion for 6 years.
Yeah, well, a lot of
people. Better Mike then, of course.
He's got a lot of one-liner. He's got, like, dad jokes.
I should ask him to get off speakerphone, too, while we're screaming at each other.
Yeah, then we should do that next week, though, Tyler. We should ask
him. Is Mike ever in town? I wonder if Mike would come in and sit in for, like, an hour.
Oh, he's out in California now. Right?
No, I think he's in Vegas. Fact check that before we actually say it. Let's make sure we figure out where he actually lives. He's allegedly. Yeah, you always can protect yourself. Allegedly, I heard he's in Vegas.
I think you're right. He is in Vegas. I think I can.
But I mean, that would be great to have him in.
So here's another test though with this defense, because I think we all said that the defense did a good job last week, and the younger players. I mean, Winovich had a really good game. And that's an important guy because that's kind of the guy that's taking Van Noy's spot, right? So he had a really good game.
No, they're all replaceable.
Okay. But how is
when they're
he,
not in the team?
How is he when you have a much better quarterback and a team that probably has a little bit more offense than what you saw with Miami and a better offensive line? That's
the reality is that you're not going to have a clue. So you play Miami, they are who they are. Okay, you play Seattle. That's a step up. You play Vegas. That's I would guess a push. And then you play Kansas City. So at the end of 4 weeks, what are you really gonna know? Like, what are you gonna know?
It depends. You're gonna know an awful. Well, I wouldn't say an awful lot. You're gonna know something if they go out to Seattle and win this game. So going into it, you would expect to beat Miami, and you would expect that they would beat the Raiders. Correct. And then
you expect the Patriots to beat the Raiders? Why?
Because I think they
based
can
beat on what?
They'll stop the run.
I think they can
start there if you can do it. So that's to me. It's still the front seven, you know. And Juwan Bentley still having the green dot, you know, identifying. He's got a head to head matchup, you know, with Russell Wilson, you know, calling out defenses or whatever it might be, right? Putting guys in the right spot. This is a big test. Because, you know, you talk about the veteran guys on the end, being able to contain Russell Wilson, try to keep him in the pocket. Do you have the discipline to do that? How many times are you going to sit there and say, oh, no, this guy didn't, you know, he bit for this or he bit for that and he didn't hold the edge? You know, well, veteran guys, they know a little bit better. Veteran linebackers going up against Russell Wilson. When's this guy going to take off to run? All right, creep. You know, so it's just so much experience and knowledge when you go up against a guy like Russell Wilson that would concern me in this game.
Yeah.
That there's going to be a lot of mistakes. The front seven. We know what the back guys are in the back end. They're outstanding. I don't know, Gilmore on Lockett, double team Metcalf, or vice versa. Yeah, they'll do their job. But what about the underneath stuff with the front seven and containing Russell Wilson? See, that's still this part where they can get exposed. We'll see.
I just want to know who is going to get personally congratulated.
This week?
Yes.
It was J.C. Jackson, new father, last week.
Who's having a baby this week?
Yeah, is anybody's baby? Gordon Hayward, we would actually like to personally congratulate you. Wait, no, he hasn't had the baby yet? Okay, forget it. I don't have anybody then. So, who am I going to thank?
So we would feel encouraged if they can hang in this game. And as you just talked about, these young players defensively, if they don't embarrass themselves in this game and they have a good showing in this game, and let's say Cam plays well again. And maybe he throws a couple of passes. Even if they lose this game, could we? And we haven't done this in the past, because in the past, if you lose the game, you suck and everybody gets all, you know, furious at you. But they could play a decent game and could come out of it. And we'd sitting here on Monday saying, not bad. They lost, but not bad.
Yeah, yes. we're looking for moral victories. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah,
here?
I think we are victories. With this team.
Well, nobody thinks they're going to win, right?
Right.
So now you say, okay, I think they're going to lose, but can they show me a little something that I'm concerned about to make me feel better in the loss? And I think that's what it's about. Like, if they lose this game and N'Keal Harry has 8 catches on 9 targets for 100 yards and they lose it, you might sit there and say, hey, you know what? That's fine. I know they lost the game. I didn't think they were going to win the game. But N'Keal Harry had a great game. They might actually have something with that kid. You know, so yeah, I think you know, that it's a little bit different. Nobody thinks they're going to win this game. So show me something. Some of the questions I have.
I'll tell you what, Pat McAfee not only thinks they're going to win this game, but he's one of those guys. Some reason has just adopted the New England Patriots. He thinks they're going to be really good this year. Listen to this.
I really believe that the Patriots are going to beat the Seattle Seahawks. Like what I just said right there is going to get, you know, could potentially come back and punch me right in the suckle.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah, like sure that could be positive.
Could punch me in the suckle. I had this feeling just whenever, as soon as they signed Cam, and I've had this feeling, I guess, throughout my entire existence in the Patriots' existence, they'll figure it out. They're going over 50 yards rushing for Cam Newton.
Yes.
And I truly believe that that fist bump between Josh McDaniels and Cam Newton on the sideline, I think that was a conversation of like, just wait until we start doing boom, 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 boom. And I think a lot of those boom, boom, booms that I'm referring to is Cam Newton and misdirections happening with him on the ground. But I think they have so many ideas on deck to get Cam Newton out of the pocket with the ball in his hands. We're going to see that offense continue to evolve. And it pains me to say this, but it feels like the Patriots are going to be able to do this all year.
It's all about the boom, boom, booms.
Well, he's right about they have a bunch of plays on deck. We haven't even scratched the surface as far as the plays that they can run and how they set up those plays. That's going to happen over the next 4 weeks. But let's just focus on the fist bump. Because I thought that was more of a, you're awesome, man. No, you're awesome, man. Dude, we're so cool together. Oh, I don't miss Tom at all, man. No, who's Tom Brady? Man, you're so much better than my other coaches. Wow, you're so smart. Dude, you can actually run. That's what that was. That was a total fest. Just love fest.
You don't
fest.
Think that was about all the hidden plays that are coming out?
I hope the camera's on so people see how I've recovered from Tom not being here.
The only thing that was missing was like Fitzy sitting between two of them.
Yeah, hugging him, hugging all over him. This is awesome, dude. Isn't this awesome? I can't believe there's no fans. We stood an awesome time.
Maybe,
dude,
maybe,
you ran so well.
Maybe Roachie on the other side.
Stitty,
maybe Roachie on the other side. Isn't this awesome?
Yeah.
How awesome is this first game?
This is so great.
Tell me how awesome it is.
You did everything I told you to do. You never bitched or complained. You didn't throw your hands up once. Oh, my God. I love you. No, man, I love you. You get me, man. You get me.
He's buying into it. There's no question, Mac, if he's buying into it. But I think you're right, Lou. All of us, if the world is, you know, revolving in the proper direction or whatever, everybody thinks the Patriots are going to lose Sunday night and the Tampa Bay should win against Carolina.
Does that still hold water, though, Glenn, real quick? Does the whole... They'll figure it out.
The earth revolves around the same way.
Does that still work? Does they'll figure it out still apply?
That's my biggest...
I don't know.
My biggest issue this year is exactly that. And we'll see. Maybe it's proven correct. Maybe it is. But this whole like fallback, like historical stats, Patriots have always been able to do things against this defense. Patriots always do this. Patriots always do that. And it's just... There's no recognition that this isn't... You know, there's no Tom, you know, and they've lost a lot of guys on this team. And there's like no recognition of that. It's just whatever. Keep it going. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they will be able to do that. I don't know.
But I think it's more than that, Lou, because losing Tom and everybody looks at last year's record at 12-4. But we all know they played patsies for the first half of the schedule.
Yeah, it wasn't great. 12-4.
12-4. It wasn't. So... You know, you got to take that into consideration as well. So with a much more difficult schedule, 12-4 probably bumps you down. Then you take Brady out of the equation. And even if you add in Cam Newton, where are you? I think I'm being really optimistic about where they are. And that's mainly because I do would take into consideration that Belichick and Josh McDaniels and the coaching staff can win games because they can devise plays. They can scheme. They can do certain things. On the other hand, if you only have so much personnel, there's only so much you can do, right, Christian?
Yeah, and so that's why I do think, you know, the game within the game, coaches versus coaches, see how that works out. I think their philosophies are similar.
If it's always been about, you know, you've got the better coach, then the Patriots never would have lost a game, period. You know, they wouldn't have lost to Tennessee last year.
It's not all about the coach, but the coach plays into it. Big.
Right. Yeah. No, the coach, I mean, listen, They don't lose games, okay? We've said that for years, you know, and in the past, the Patriots don't lose them, you know, not often. When you watch football on a weekly basis, you know, you watch all these games, like, wow, that team just melted. Like, look at the mistakes after mistakes. Patriots don't do that. Now, the question is, does this Patriots Can they continue that? Because if they can, then that gives them probably three more wins.
That's where the curiosity exists, I think.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah. And is it possible that Tom Brady loses this week? It's all of it is possible. We got another hour to go. We'll get back into the Celtics and their coach. How much is he responsible? And what the hell happened after the game last night where there's an altercation in the locker room? Does it mean anything? This hour brought to you by Eagle Bank.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.